The following is a presentation of Glad Tidings, a gospel community on a mission to love.
We're beginning a series, You Pick. You know, you pick the topics, and today we're going to be talking about how do I share my faith? Well, first of all, you got to know Jesus. You know, because if you just know a religion, like if you just kind of know a bunch of truths about this thing called Christianity, you go to some course or, you know, you kind of grow up in church and it's all familiar, it's just a bunch of religious talk, then you're going to have a hard time talking about Jesus because you don't really know him. You haven't really encountered him. You haven't been amazed by his presence. You haven't been like totally astounded by his promises. You haven't, you know, really experienced what it's like to be in the presence of a holy God and be completely undone and feel like your face is to the ground and you're in a pool and a puddle of tears because this incredible, awesome, holy, omnipotent, powerful, astounding friend who's also Savior, Redeemer, who is Lord and Master over all, calls you, come, come. I invite you to come. It's a personal invitation from God through Jesus. I mean, that's how do you share your faith? You encounter Christ. You know, how do you encounter Christ? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning in the Scriptures. And if you want to turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, I just want to point out verses 14 to 16. And again, these might be familiar words to you. But what I've discovered, what I kind of have come to know as a follower of Jesus, what I've come to know is that sometimes when we ask a question, we already know the answer, but we lack the courage to do it. You know, like we spend more time talking about things like prayer than praying, or we spend time talking about the lost than actually speaking to the lost. That's kind of how it is with this topic of how do I share my faith. And so in Matthew chapter 5, we get a couple of different, we catch a glimpse of what Jesus is speaking to us and saying to us and who we are supposed to be. And when we get those two things right, I think the idea of sharing our faith just kind of flows out of who we are and our relationship because of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want us to focus on. But more importantly, I want to look at a couple of different characters. These people called evangelists, or the Bible word for that is herald. Not some guy named Harold, but as in the, you know, the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. They were herald angels. They were angels who brought a message, who pronounced good news. And that's the Bible word. Whenever you see evangelists, most often the actual word is herald. And there is an image attached to that word, herald. What is a herald? Well, I'm going to leave that up to you to seek that out this week on Google because I don't have enough time to focus on that this morning. But I do want to point out that there is, in the New Testament, there is a number of different heralds, a number of different evangelists, people who are really not special people or necessarily gifted people, apart from just having the Holy Spirit, an encounter with Christ, hearing the gospel, believing in Jesus, and saying, I need to share this with other people. They need to know. My friends need to know. My coworkers need to know. It's a matter of life and death. I now see that God had a plan that goes way beyond my lifetime. God had a plan that spanned all of eternity, and he sent Jesus. And he first spoke to a people called Israel, and he formed these people because he wanted to have a relationship with them. He wanted to dwell among them. He wanted his people that he created to know who the Creator was. And so he formed this people, Israel, and out of Israel came this person by the name of Jesus. It was God himself in the flesh who chose to come and dwell among us and make his home with us. And God had this amazing plan that the gospel, the good news, would actually dwell in us. It wouldn't be just a set of principles that we memorize. It wouldn't be a special formula that we have to somehow, you know, figure out so that we can get into this thing called the kingdom of heaven and start to experience the joy instead of the sorrow and all the stuff that is really from heaven that God wants to bring down to earth so that we can get rid of all the old stuff, the stuff stuff of the flesh that wants to drag us down and bring us into places of destruction. And he wants to set us free from that so that we can live a life of freedom and wholeness, a life that is filled with love, a life that is filled with purpose, a life that has meaning beyond this life. And this was the plan of God. And it's all wrapped up in the person of Jesus, who was laid in a manger in swaddling clothes. And the people beheld him and they saw the glory of God. And as he grew up, he started calling people to himself on a journey. And he says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And through your life, not through someone else's life, through your life, each and every individual who chose and still to this day chooses to follow Jesus, he will bring glory to his name. He will demonstrate the kingdom through your life. That's his plan. That's his purpose. And we're going to see in just a minute how many different personalities, not one was the same, and yet there was so much in common because they all carried this person of Christ in their born-again spirit. They all had this new life. There was a new person, a new creation that came alive when they first believed. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they started to have the power to actually live out that life and be a witness and be a herald, a bringer of good news, one who pronounces an important announcement, who makes important announcements, who declares to the enemy that says, this is my kingdom that I now belong to. See, that's what the heralds did. This is the kingdom I belong to. This is the values of the kingdom that I now represent. I stand for this kingdom. It's an announcement to the enemy and the kingdom of darkness, and it's an announcement to who we are and to others around us so that they understand who God is. They see that through your life. It was D.L. Moody who said this. He says, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible, the other 99 will read the Christian. And people are reading your life. And they want to know who you are. And the closer they get and the more they get to know you, they want to test you and find out, are you really who you say you are? And the best way to share your faith is to let people see Jesus in your life. Because Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And what that tells me is we don't have to create the light. We just have to be willing to open up our lives so that people see the light and the beauty of Jesus shining through our words and our works of love. And Jesus says this in verses 15 to 16, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Then we read in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7, we get another glimpse of light. We get a glimpse of who we are, who God is, and as a result, how we are to live our life. He says this, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. And this is who these people were fundamentally, ultimately who they were as evangelists, as heralds in the Bible. These people who pronounced good news, each with their own personality and style. I want to mention five of them. The first one I want to mention is Peter, the passionate preacher. Peter, the passionate preacher. You see, this is the kind of person we think about when we don't always think about that picture, but we get this idea, oh yeah, those people who pronounce good news, those people are really good at sharing their faith. Oh yeah, those are the passionate preachers. Those are the bold ones like Peter. Remember the story in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 24. You know, Jesus was recently crucified, and Peter stood up in the middle of Jerusalem in a crowd, and he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this." In other words, this is an important announcement. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. There's a seeker-sensitive way right there of, you know, pronouncing truth. Verse 24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Isn't that what we were singing this morning? You see, Peter loved to speak the truth boldly. It fit his personality. It fit who God made him to be. It fit the giftings and the experience and everything that Peter was, that it was, he was just opening up his heart and his mouth, and the Jesus in him was just shining through, and it was coming through in boldness in the style that Peter, the passionate preacher, was allowed to be. If you have no problem putting people on the spot, if you like to share your opinion whether people ask for it or not, if you're the kind of person that likes to correct people in conversations, if you're usually the first person to talk and dominate the conversation, this might be your style. I know a few of you, and we have some Peters among us. Just be that bold and confident person in Christ and in your faith. And let that light shine out. Let the Jesus in you shine out through the personality that God's given you. But remember what Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The second personality is Paul the intellectual. Paul the intellectual. His style, we read in Acts 17, Paul speaks to a group of philosophers. He's saying this, he's in the Areopagus in Athens, and he says, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am about to proclaim to you. He's heralding. He's making an important announcement that is going to be truth. This is what he does. And then he goes on. You can read it in Acts chapter 17. He lays out this very logical, analytical case for faith in Christ. Now, if you're the type of person who likes to analyze and loves the details and needs to give an answer for everything, this might be your style of sharing your faith. You like to focus on the questions that the cynics and the skeptics are asking in our day, in our world. And you just find so much, you're comfortable in that space. It doesn't intimidate you at all. You know, you go looking for it. You know, that might be your style. You may be a Paul. Or you enjoy discussions and debates. You sometimes get frustrated with people who are illogical or, you know, haven't maybe thought through the same way you have an answer for everything, especially when it relates to your faith. If that sounds like you, then don't shy away from using your brain to glorify God. It's important. God gave you that to bring glory to his name. Let your voice be heard. Be a witness according to the personality that God has given to you. And remember 2 Timothy 2:24 to 25. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. Able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. For God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. The third personality, this one comes without a name, but I call this the seeing, not the blind man, the seeing storyteller. We read about it in John 9. This is the person who likes to share testimonies, right? Jesus heals this man. He gets hauled in front of the religious leaders. They start asking questions. They ask questions of his parents. His parents say, hey, look, we don't know. Ask him. You know, he's old enough to answer his own questions. And so this man just says, look, whether, referring to Jesus, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. If that sounds like you, you're a storyteller. You love to tell personal stories in order to illustrate a point. If you find yourself not afraid to sort of identify with people and share your mistakes, if you're good at listening to other people's stories, this might be your style. This might be the way that God has wired you up. You don't have to get in deep debates or confront people. You just need to remember 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. See, in telling your story, it's important that eventually you get to Christ. You don't want to so identify with people that they go, oh yeah, you're just like me. I'm hurt and we're hurt and we're all hurt. No, there's a life beyond the hurt. There's a healing beyond the pain. There's this person called Jesus that wants to take us out of that situation and bring healing and wholeness to us. And let me tell you what he did in my life. Let me tell you the story of Christ, the person of Christ, and how he made himself real to me. But do this with gentleness and respect, 1 Peter says. Then there's Dorcas the do-gooder, I call her. Dorcas was a seamstress. She liked to make dresses and liked to make clothing for people, and she had a servant's heart. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 39, it says, in Joppa, there was a disciple by the name of Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Dorcas had a huge impact in Joppa because of how she served. So for Dorcas, it wasn't so much, you know, her words. It wasn't so much her intellect. It wasn't so much that, maybe she had this incredible, powerful testimony, you know, how she had this terrible life and God saved her out of this life. And now, you know, she's this amazing person. It was just, you know what? I know how to do this thing called sewing. I know how to make clothes for people. I know how to help people. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it all to the glory of God. And through her life, people remembered her good works, and they glorified God. Galatians 6:9-10 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. All different personalities, all different stories, all evangelists, all heralds, all people who announce good news and allow Jesus to shine through their life. And then the last one I want to point out is Levi the connector. Everyone knows a connector. Everyone knows that they're the life of the party. If you want to know where the party is, you phone this person up. Usually this person is on the phone all the time. Like, they're just constantly on the phone. They're always talking to people, and they're no longer a teenager, you know, so you can't just blame that. They just seem to know what's going on. They seem to know everybody. They like to include other people in their activities. This was, you know, Levi. He was otherwise known as Matthew. Didn't have the best job in the world, but it paid the bills, and then some. He was a tax collector. He didn't have the social status. In fact, people turned the other way when he came into their presence until he met Jesus. And then everything in his world changed. And the first thing he could think of is, I got to have a party, you know. And he throws a party and he invites his friends and they say, you got to meet this Jesus. Levi was a connector. He had that personality. He was outgoing and friendly and knew a lot of people and, you know, very relational kind of person. If that sounds like you, then this is a good season for you, because Alpha happens to be one of those ways and those opportunities for connectors to just so come alive and use the gifts that God's given them and the personality that God's given them to actually invite them and bring them to hear about Jesus and to know Jesus, not just through the teaching, but through the conversation that happens in the room in tables in small groups. And I'm really excited about this opportunity that we have And Alpha is amazing because it actually allows all the different personality types. You know, no matter if you're an intellect, we need intellects at the table. You know, if you're a passionate preacher, you know, you just love to tell people the way it is. We need those people at the table. We need all kinds of people. The great variety of God's body that he's placed in this room need to be at the table, and you need to bring someone with you so that they too can hear who this Jesus is and find out how to be set free and to live a life of purpose and meaning.
Thank you for listening to this message from our weekly gathering in Vancouver. To find ways you can join us on our mission to love, please visit our website at gtchurch.ca.